wheels are starting to beat a little bit faster.
50 years on from Barcelona.
Rangers have won the European Cup Winners' Cup.
And anything up to 50 hours on the road to Seville.
Hi guys, it's Super Scoreboard, it's Robert, John and Brendan again. 10 minutes past 11, we have now left France and we're in Spain.
After reaching Bilbao from Belfast, it looks as though I didn't make it to Seville. Need to make it to Seville the next day of the game.
Get to London, get to Madrid, and then from Madrid get the fast train.
We have driven 1,306 miles.
Glasgow to Heathrow, Heathrow to Madrid, Madrid to Seville.
We still have 5 hours and 23 minutes to get to sunny Seville.
Seville, Seville.
2 hours to go.
This is going to be another roller coaster.
To Rangers.
Rangers are heading to Seville.
In the Europa League final.
Beating RB Leipzig 3-1.
And the Rangers players saluting the fans who have paid hard-earned money.
We're live in Glasgow.
One of the greatest nights Ibrox has ever seen.
And live in Seville.
Alan McGregor is the hero.
Are you ready?
The goals as they happen.
The left boot of John Lundstrom has just caused Ibrox to erupt.
We know what it's worth.
Destiny has called on Rangers tonight.
Eintracht Frankfurt versus Rangers. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on one of the biggest nights in Rangers history. Giovanni van Bronckhorst's men have already defied the odds to get to the Europa League final, but immortality awaits if they can see off Eintracht Frankfurt and bring the trophy home. Around 100,000 fans have made the trip, with many more watching at home, hoping to witness one of Scottish football's greatest ever achievements. I'm Gordon Duncan. We will be live in Seville, but here in the studio we've got Gordon DL, Andy Halliday and Hugh Keevans.
On a night like this, there's sometimes an obligation to come up with grand words to describe the enormity of the occasion and the scale of the achievement if Rangers beat Eintracht Frankfurt. But this is a European final, and Giovanni van Bronckhorst's side haven't arrived in Spain by accident. Grand words aren't necessary, because Rangers' results and performances speak eloquently enough for themselves. They've been a force of nature in this competition. Now history awaits. The biggest result in Rangers' history would bring a European trophy back to Ibrox. It's a remarkable story, needing a final chapter to be written. The ball is at their feet. The pen is in their hand.
Yeah, I've never had the excitement less for a long, long time in a football game, Gordon. I think the full country, wishing Rangers all the very best, was because of the Scotland connection as well. But as you quite rightly said there, Rangers players have got a chance to go down history tonight. One off game, they begin and with full of confidence. There's 100,000 supporters over there wishing them, supporters all over the world wishing them all the very best. It is going to be one roller coaster of a night.
Yeah, 50 years since Barcelona, 14 since Manchester. I thought it'd be a long, long time. I thought I'd be lucky enough to be in my lifetime at seeing Rangers in the European final again. And against all odds, the players are one hurdle away from the impossible, and it's going to be a brilliant night for Scottish football.
0141 951 1025. Strap yourselves in. We are here until at least 11 o'clock tonight, building up to the big game, taking you through the event itself, and of course, either celebrating or commiserating at full time. So let's hear from as many of you as possible on the phones, 0141 951 1025, or on Twitter at ClydeSSB. Hugh Keevans, it doesn't get much bigger than this for our club sides in Europe. You can count very quickly the number of times any Scottish club has made it to a European final. That's across any era. So when you boil that down to the modern era, to be here and be 90, maybe more, minutes away from a major European trophy coming back to this country, it's quite something.
When you consider that it's 39 years since Aberdeen beat Real Madrid in Gothenburg to become the last Scottish side to win a European trophy, that tells you the enormity of the occasion tonight. No one in their wildest dreams saw this coming. Andy Halliday didn't see it coming. Gordon DL, yourself, Nobody saw this coming when Giovanni Van Bronckhorst came here in December. At one point, before he took the job, he's sitting in the stand at Hampden watching Hibs take a 3-0 half-time lead in a cup tie, and then he assumes responsibility. He had a 6-point lead in the league, turned into a 6-point deficit, but at the same time, momentum grew and grew and grew. And that's why 100,000 people are in southwest Spain.
Let's go there. In fact, let's go live to Seville and start the build-up. Andrew McLean is the lucky one. He is inside the stadium tonight for the game. And Andrew, you've had quite a few days. How's it building up over there?
Yeah, as you say, so much build-up, and it's finally here. Europa League final, and I think it's still sinking in for many people as well. Rangers in the final of a European competition for just the fifth time in their history, looking to win their second European trophy, and the sense of occasion is just rising and rising. I was walking around the city today. I heard more Scottish accents than I did Spanish accents. A huge following, around 100,000, we believe, have made the journey over, because this is an occasion they just can't miss. It didn't matter how they got here, it didn't matter from where in the globe they were coming from, it was just important they made it here to share this moment with their fellow supporters. And I tell you what, it's hot. It is really hot. About 38 degrees it was today when I was walking about, and it's still to be around 30 by kickoff. So we'll see how big a factor that has on the match and on my own performance as well, because I've chosen to wear jeans tonight, which was a really bad choice. But back to the actual matters at hand, the Ramon Sanchez Pizjuan Stadium is actually bigger than it looks, but just over 40,000 will be in here tonight, which really isn't fitting for a game of this magnitude between two teams, you know, these two teams especially. I'm sure there will be still plenty of noise inside the ground amongst the nerves from both sets of fans, and it's all about how the players handle their own nerves as well. Most won't have played in a game with such big consequences before, a chance to go down in the history books of their respective clubs. Rangers have dispatched of Dortmund, Red Star Belgrade, Braga, Leipzig in the knockout stages to get here. Eintracht Frankfurt, they're now standing in the way, and you really struggle to call a favourite in this one, don't you? They've seen off Barcelona and West Ham, but what's gone before this game doesn't matter. It'll be settled tonight. It could be 90 minutes, it could be extra time, it could be penalties, but no matter what, by the end of the night, we'll know whether a truly stratospheric moment in Scottish football has occurred.
Andrew McLean inside the Roman Sanchez Pizjuan Stadium in Seville. What about the Estadio de la Cartuja, where Gabriel Antoniazzi is in amongst the fans? Gabriel, how's it been?
Yeah, thanks, Gordon. It's been absolutely magnificent here today, and that's just the weather. I am at the official Rangers fan zone, so it's just outside Estadio La Cartuja, and the party atmosphere just keeps going. Now, I'm sitting under a little tree in the shade, just next to the follow paella menu stand, and that just typifies how welcoming the locals have been to supporters here. You can hear the music blaring behind me. It's been Rangers tunes for the last hour. A kickoff is still a couple of hours away, so the fans that are going will just walk over to the Cartuja. I can see it. It's just behind me to the right hand side, and actually a bigger stadium than the Pizjuan that is hosting the game itself. Most fans have just walked up from the Alameda de Hercules, which was the meeting point for people with tickets to the game, and it was not easy, let me tell you that. 35 degree heat, a 30 minute walk across the river, most people having to stop and take a break. No shaming that. There's plenty of sunburnt Scots as well, let me tell you that, but they won't care. Truly a carnival atmosphere here, and it's continued since we left Scotland on Monday morning. Everyone Hill will be heading into the stadium shortly. Around 30,000 inside, not max capacity, and they're hoping their team make history. You can just hear how excited everyone is here for the match.
I feel like we'll just leave that there for a minute to try and soak up the atmosphere, since we are stuck back in Clydebank. The look on Andy Halliday's face is somewhere between "that sounds great" and "why on earth am I not there, Andy?"
Oh, devastated. But I thought it was important that I still came here tonight to dispel the rumours that I was in Seville. So,
do you know, someone sent me a picture about 10 minutes ago. There's apparently an Andy Halliday lookalike steward in the stadium. So the rumours are back going, yeah. But surely you can't be two places at once. You are indeed here.
Spanish Andy.
It's Gabriel and Andrew who are out there. So Andy Halliday very much in the studio, along with Hugh Keevans and Gordon Deal. But that just about sums it up, Hugh. Rough arithmetic tells you only 1 in 10 fans who've gone there have actually got tickets for the match. It's that type of occasion where fans just feel compelled, drawn to Seville to try and be as part of this as they possibly can.
This Rangers story is unique because 12 years ago they were going into administration, liquidation, then came all of the consequences of that state of affairs, playing in the bottom tier of Scottish football, Rangers playing in the Ramsden's Cup, people taking control of Rangers who were unworthy of the club, years of fans' anguish, anxiety, and then Dave King, John Gilligan, John Bennett got together and the club changed direction. And they have returned to where the Rangers supporters believe they should be. They won a title, stopped Celtic getting 10 in a row, then quickly lost that title. But what has taken place on the European front has made up for losing that title. And tonight, these Rangers fans who have known all the consequences of the lower divisions, they will regard this as being the biggest day in Rangers history, bigger than Barcelona.
01419511025, we're here for you. Come on, Rangers fans, how are the nerves? Get the calls in. Scott is first up tonight from Bridgeton, but in Seville, I believe. Scott, how are you?
I'm not bad, thanks very much. How are you, panel?
Very good. I suspect we're not quite as good as you, because you're there, you're building up to the big game.
To me, it's too bad. I don't like you, son.
Behave. Andy Halliday will swap it in a second. How are you feeling, Scott? How are the nerves?
I mean, once in every 10 years, getting the Europe final, so may as well make a mess of it.
Are you nervous? Are you confident? How would you describe your feelings ahead of the game?
50-50.
I think that's an alright place to be, Andy. And one you can probably understand. How confident should Rangers fans be?
Certainly nothing to fear, but I do think that that sort of underdog mentality has really suited Rangers this season. You look at the, I don't think any pundit journalist fan fancied them to go through Dortmund when that tie was made. You looked at the sort of Red Star in the Braga games, there's two ties that you really seen Rangers had a chance in. Then again, RB Leipzig, the fact that they overcame that. But I think Rangers need to be very cautious of being overconfident. I mean, this Frankfurt side are obviously no mugs. Unbeaten in the competition, beat some very good sides, of course the favourites in Barcelona, so it's going to be a huge task. But sometimes people forget the actual first six games of this European campaign for Rangers. I mean, 2-1 successive defeats to Malmo, where they were overwhelming favourites, 180 minutes of horrific football against Alaskert, and then obviously two defeats in the opening two ties of the group stages. So the fact that they've even got to this position is remarkable, but one hurdle to go.
Very easy to find confidence from either side, Gordon. Rangers have beaten better German teams than Frankfurt.
Yeah.
Simple as that. Two of them, in fact. Two of them who, as far as the Bundesliga table goes, are a good bit better than Eintracht Frankfurt. That's how you judge teams, is your domestic league. On the other hand, they've been very good in Europe. They've knocked out West Ham. They've knocked out Barcelona. They've had a very, very good run to this stage. So you can see both sides.
Both teams are fancy tonight. Of course they will. Both sets of supporters over there will be looking at this and thinking, yeah, we're the favourites. I totally agree with Andy. I think that Rangers in this European campaign, which they've been absolutely brilliant, as the underdogs, I think it takes the pressure away from them. They're allowed to go out and play. At Ibrox, they've been sensational. They really have. They deserve to be here. Frankfurt, you look at their going to Barcelona, winning. West Ham, that you thought was going to be really difficult, winning. So both teams will get in favourites. But I've got to say, Gordon, I've had a feeling for a long time now that I think this is Rangers' day. I think they're going to win tonight. I am very confident Rangers are coming home with that trophy.
I don't believe in it's written in the stars, and I don't believe in fate. It's 50 years since Barcelona. I believe in football you make your own luck. And as I say, Rangers are not there by accident. They're there because they have been this force of nature. Both teams are a walking contradiction. Eintracht Frankfurt are in a European final, having failed to make the top 10 in the Bundesliga, having won 4 out of 17 home games in the Bundesliga. Rangers are in a European final, having failed to win the league in their own country when they had a 6-point start. So they're both, to a degree, walking contradictions, but I don't believe written in the stars. I believe you write your own luck, and I believe that Rangers are there because the stories they wrote were perfectly accurate.
What would it mean to you, Scott, to see Rangers lift a European trophy tonight?
Well, I don't know. Words couldn't describe how it would feel, to be honest with you, if they lost the trophy. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And what makes it so hard to sum up? Is it because, you know, Scottish teams shouldn't get to European finals? Is it because Breakin and the ball in the hedge wasn't so long ago? What is it that makes it so unbelievable for you?
Well, they've done so well in Europe. Everybody has put them as underdogs in every game almost they've played. So to get to a final, and if they are underdogs and they will come back and win it, I'd like to see the papers in the morning.
Yeah, I mean, look, Andy Halliday, everybody knows you are hoping to spoil the end of Rangers week and win the Scottish Cup, and there's no doubt about that whatsoever. It's also not a secret in Scottish football that Rangers means an awful lot to you. How would you sum up what it would mean to get the job done tonight?
Well, in 150 year history, for a lot of people to widely acknowledge it, this will be their biggest achievement in that period. I mean, it just sums it up. You look at the journey the club's been on, being demoted down to the bottom division in domestic football. Not only that, but off the field, losing two huge parts of the football club in Walter Smith and Jimmy Bell, and what the club overall went through over the last couple of decades. I mean, it's just, we all know what Scottish football clubs mean to our fans. We all know what the Old Firm mean to Old Firm supporters. And for me, this will be the biggest night in Rangers history, and not even close.
Well, you know, Barcelona, having been old enough to have gone through that experience and watched the game, Barcelona was a phenomenal achievement, and Rangers beat great sides there to get there. But football was a different world then. And the world in which Rangers live now is such that there have been 24 finalists in the Europa League since the competition came into being. Eight of them, one third, have come from countries out with the top five powers. Rangers are the eighth now. That's the scale of the achievement. The football world is a financial imbalance. That's why 8 of the 24 finalists and 8 only have made the Europa League final. But Rangers are there on merit, undoubted merit.
I've got to say, Hugh, I shared the dressing room with a lot of the guys that won the Cup in 72. One's a young lad when signed with Rangers, and they were heroes, greats, fantastic players. But I sort of agree with Andy. I think this would be the biggest achievement, purely down to financial and what they're up against, yeah, and where they've come from and the hurdles that they had to go over. So if they had to succeed tonight, and a lot of the guys that I've been speaking to are over there in Seville and supporting them, desperate for them to take over that mantle.
What a night it's going to be for these Rangers players, Andrew McLean.
Yeah, well, they're just coming out onto the pitch now to walk around. I'm sure you can hear the ovation they're getting from the Rangers support, and barely any of the supporters are even in yet, and the noise they're making is really quite something. The first two players out were Alex Lowry and Leon King, two of the young players. What an occasion this is going to be for them to be a part of. They were quickly followed by Kemar Roof, who could have a part to play after returning from injury, and one by one they're making their way onto the pitch. And stepping over the white line now is James Tavernier, who has been so influential in this Rangers team, especially in this Europa League run. And you've got to think, if Rangers are going to do something tonight, he's going to be a big part of it.
What do you think is going through the heads, Andy Halliday? They've walked onto many pitches and looked around many stadia in their time. How do you get away from this being so different? Do you try and treat it like another game? You know those guys inside out, all their different personalities. Give us a flavour of what some of them will be experiencing just now.
I mean, it's very difficult to comment on it, because these players know this is the biggest game they've played in their career, and probably will. And the fact of the matter is, when you're at Rangers or Celtic, we all know this Glasgow goldfish bowl that we're in. So they'll have been reminded of this game ever since that semi-final against Leipzig. So they know the enormity of the challenge. But I feel as if they've got to go in with a lot of confidence. I feel as if they have beaten better sides, although, you know, we acknowledge that Frankfurt will be a good side. And like I says, I just don't think they've got anything to fear. I'm really interested actually to see how Rangers do approach the game, because we have seen two different sides to Giovanni Van Bronckhorst Rangers sides in Europe. Now you look at the Dortmund away and the Leipzig at home, and they've really got after sides being front foot and been attacking. Then we've seen the Braggers away, the Leipzigs away. So, you know, it's two sides to Rangers that I'm very interested to see how they approach it tonight.
Just listen to that. The atmosphere is building in Seville, and we're an hour and 40 minutes away from kickoff. The stadium is not even close to full. There's only going to be 9,000 Rangers ticket holders when kickoff does come around. So goodness knows what that noise level is going to be like. That sounds absolutely incredible. We will be back with more of your calls very soon. 0141 951 1025. How are you feeling, Rangers fans? How are the nerves? Whether you're in Glasgow, somewhere else in the west of Scotland, Seville, or even further, let's hear from you. We'll take your calls and we'll hear from Giovanni Van Bronckhorst after these.
Rangers are heading to Seville.
We know what it's worth. Rangers in the Europa League final.
This is going to be another roller coaster, a nail biter.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Evans, Andy Halliday, Gordon DL in the studio. We've got the top team out and about in Seville as well. 92 and a half minutes to be precise until kickoff. Rangers fans, how do you feel? 0141 951 1025. We're here for you, whatever it is. Maybe you're beside yourself with excitement. Maybe you're so nervous you can dread the game in a weird way. Maybe you're absolutely certain Rangers are going to bring the trophy home. Maybe you've got thoughts about who should play. I feel like that's almost been lost in all the drama about who's getting there and how they're getting there and tickets and all the rest of it. So get your thoughts in, because I would say the team news can't be too far away. I wouldn't have thought Andrew McLean. Is that accurate?
Yeah, quite often it's an hour and a half before kickoff on these European nights, so it could be within the next couple of minutes, you never know.
Right, well, we'll keep Andrew right there. Let's bring in David and Pollock Shields and see how he's feeling. What are you up to, David?
Evening, gents. I just on my toad in the house, but I still feel as if I'm surrounded, because sitting on social media and watching the YouTube clips of all the fan videos coming flooding in, it's out of this world. Absolutely out of this world. I'd love to be there. I can't be there. Well, so be it. I'm on my second can of cider now. I've got to crack open the single malt just before kickoff, and here's to the boys.
Oh, you might not see extra time.
Please drink responsibly, David, and stuff. Everyone else. I'm going to say that a few times tonight, yeah, if we stay on till midnight. David, what does it mean to you as a Rangers fan to have a night like this?
Best night of my life, if they win it. The absolutely best night of my life. I was born in 74, so nowhere near old enough to remember 72. But I still remember my old man, God rest him, he's been dead nearly 30 years. But I still remember his story about somehow the telly wasn't working for some reason, and he just spent the whole game pacing up and down the house being pranny glued to the side of his head listening to the commentary, you know. So it's the best night of my life. From a football perspective, with any shadow of doubt.
Hugh, that's the thing. You know, it's easy sometimes to exaggerate and get caught up in these things, but that's not the case here. Lots of people will be feeling like that. Well, yeah, let's take like birth of children and, you know, wedding days or whatever out of this. A lot of Rangers fans are staring at one of the greatest nights of their life if it goes to plan.
Without doubt. I remember 50 years ago, David's talking about his late father. We were not newly married, but less than a year married, and didn't have a telly, couldn't afford a telly. And I went upstairs to watch the game in a neighbour's house, and he was a Celtic fan. And to say he was less than pleased by the final outcome would be an understatement. Black and white telly, you know, days of black and white tellies. And David's late dad would have probably had one of those black and white tellies, and then it's conked out. So, you know, if David, I wonder why David's in the house on his own. If the family refused to let you to sit beside you during this experience, David,
we'll probably leave you to your own devices as well, Hugh Evans, a bit later on. I mean, Andy, your family, I guess, will be there. Is your dad there?
Yeah, brother? Yeah, dad, brothers, friends. Most of the outer family are all there. But it was funny because you says, you know, forget about childbirth and get married to wives and whatnot. No, include that. If Rangers win tonight, you can get my dad on the phone and say what he preferred. Rangers win the night of me being born, and I tell you his answer.
Yeah, I was going to say, look, when I started this off, I didn't realise how much worse it was going to make you feel. The fact that everybody you know is there and you're stuck in here with us for the rest of the evening. But on a serious note, you know, what will it mean to them?
Oh, I mean, they follow Rangers everywhere, home and away. They've been to the Berwick Rangers and the Breakings on top of the bush. To go to that, to this, it's if they win, I wouldn't like to think what my dad and brothers are going to do tonight if they win.
I remember in 1967 when Celtic won, there was a spate of children who were named, let's say your the name, first name was David, and they are then followed the names of Simpson, Craig, Gemmell, etc, etc, etc. So children will be named, newborn children.
Roof is a weird middle name, yeah, well, isn't it?
Scott.
You're right, it's that type of impact, and we'll hopefully get the chance to take that all in, Gordon. It's an interesting balance when you get to this stage, because there is a level of achievement done, obviously, by getting there. If we're talking about something that doesn't happen very often, then it has to be an achievement to get this far. You still want to win it. You know, it's not like you can now just kick back and say, oh well, you know, we're winners already. That's not how football works. If it doesn't go to plan tonight, they'll still deserve congratulations for getting there, obviously. Look at the way the Seville team were lauded. Look at the way the Manchester team were lauded. But you still want to win. It's a final.
Do you know something, Gordon? I don't know if Andy will agree or Hugh. I've got a different feeling about that this tonight. I think the expectation is so high. You know, I think the years gone by, getting there, yeah, you've got an opportunity to win it. Didn't win it. Yeah, brilliant. You got there. Great. Andy will tell you, we've played in cup finals, not in this sort of a stage. But after a cup final, if you lose it, you never sit and think, well, it was an achievement getting there. And I think tonight these guys will know, sitting in that dressing room just before they go out, we will never, ever probably get a better chance in doing something tonight. They will go down history.
The expectation is born of what the players have done so far. Yep. The expectation is born of looking at Borussia Dortmund and refusing to be overawed and putting them out and putting RB Leipzig out and putting Braga out. So they're not there because of fate. They're not there because it's 50 years since Barcelona. They're there because they beat teams that you would have argued were better than them, certainly had a status higher than theirs, but they beat them.
I think it's a completely different type of pressure. I mean, I actually think, funnily enough, that Rangers are probably under more pressure in the Scottish Cup final at the weekend because they're heavy favourites. But it's more the pressure, knowing the magnitude of what they've got ahead of them. And let's face it, some of these players are 90 minutes away from being in the Hall of Fame. There's four or five of them that are guaranteed places in the Hall of Fame of the club if they win tonight. So I think it's more the magnitude of what's ahead of them. Like we spoke about it could be the biggest achievement in 150-year history. So they know they're one game away from it, and that's where the pressure comes.
Yeah, there are different types of pressure, Gordon. There's pressure on to win it because you're in it. But I've always wondered if, you know, a lot of pressure revolves around jeopardy rather than incentive. You know, as Andy says, Rangers lose a Scottish Cup final, you're going to get slated because, you know, you should have won it.
Yeah.
You are relegated, for instance, if you're going into a last day of the season trying to stay up, that's proper pressure because the jeopardy's there. If you lose, you're relegated. You can't take the foot off the gas. Rangers want to win it, but this is more of an enjoyable pressure, if that makes sense. No one's going to, the fans are not going to be lining up at Glasgow Airport to hurl abuse at these players if they don't win tonight. So it's a different type of pressure. It's more about the incentive rather than the jeopardy.
But yeah, I totally agree. But you flip that onto the pressure that nobody thought the Rangers would ever get here, and they've done it the hard way, Gordon. Let's be honest, they have been brilliant in Europe. They're one game away from, as Andy says, there'll be players in the Hall of Fame. Also, you talk about your own pressure as a player. You want to win it. You want to be that person that was involved in winning this cup. You also know there's 100,000 people in Seville supporting you. You know there's hundreds of thousands and millions of people all over the world supporting Rangers tonight, and you want to do it for them as well. So as much as I totally agree with you, if they lose tonight and they come off that plane from Glasgow, you know there'll be thousands there to welcome them back. But see, as a player, you're so close, you can touch it, you can feel it. And I think these players tonight believe they can go and do it.
Thank you, David. 01419511025 is the number. Simon in East Kilbride has dialed. Simon, what does it mean to you tonight?
It means everything. I just want to pick up on a wee point that Andy and Gordon had made there. I would argue that they're not 90 minutes, like some of the guys aren't 90 minutes away from the Hall of Fame. I would induct them now. James Tavernier, for example, from where he got us in the championship, he joined us in the championship, the championship effectively, and he's got us to 55 and now a European final. how many players in Rangers history are going to do that? I would argue none. Very, very few. Exactly. I would have him in the Hall of Fame right now.
Yeah, well, I can get that. Andy, how big a night is this for him?
Monumental. I mean, I've spoken about it so many times. I've argued with hundreds and hundreds of people what type of man I feel like James Tavernier is. And you're talking about, you know, a captain that leads in different ways. And I said it last week, the fact that he scored the opening goal in every home knockout tie, if that's not leading from the front, I don't know what it is. You look over the 6-7 years, the criticism he's came under, some fair, some not. I mean, I don't think anyone deserves it more than him if he goes and lifts that trophy tonight.
And will he, Simon?
I hope so. I hope to God. I had a weird feeling, like, all the way through it is, I kind of like Borussia Dortmund. My missus would take me away from my 30th to see Borussia Dortmund, and when we get drawn with them, I thought, brilliant, I get to see Borussia Dortmund at Ibrox, I get to see the fans. It's a free hit, effectively. And now, oh, we put them out, and then you're going, oh, well, wait a minute, Red Star, they're beatable. Oh, we put them out, Braga, and then Leipzig, we'll get undone against Leipzig, and we didn't. And now we're here. It's just a kind of a feeling of fate, I think, for us. I just think it's there to be got, and why not tonight, and why not us?
Now, Simon, how's the FOMO? You know what that is, Hugh Keevans?
No.
I didn't think so. No, you neither. Right, we'll explain it at the break. Yeah. Simon sounds like a young man. Basically, Simon's an East Kilbride when he'd rather be in Seville. See, he has the fear of missing out, as the kids would say.
Ah.
What's going on, Simon?
My wife and I were lucky to have a wee baby girl in January.
Congratulations.
So unfortunately, all my money goes towards her, wee Luna. wee Luna Violet Grey, that's her. She's lucky Luna, we're calling her in this run. So, I'm happy. Me and my dad have been season tickles for years, and when we're playing East Stirling and East Life and all that kind of thing, we always said, we'll get the European nights back eventually, and boy, have we.
Absolutely, those nappies don't buy themselves, that's understandable, but that's the reality.
No one misses out. Whether you're there in Seville or any part of Scotland, if you're a Rangers supporter, you don't miss out, because this will mean as much to you, even if you're watching it on a television screen, as it will to those who are inside the Seville ground. It's a shared experience. Mm. And I don't think anyone misses out. If Rangers win, it's a collective thrill.
Simon, all the best to you and the family. I must admit, I thought we would have team news by now. The nervous wait goes on for the Rangers fans. Let's quickly hear some of Giovanni Van Bronckhorst's thoughts. We were speaking about pressure. What does he think?
We're here now. You see the difference in the attention we have from media. If you look in the stadium and now also the press conference, it's because we reached the final. And if you play big games and finals, you get so much attention. But I think we have to make sure we are concentrating on our games. And we've done it for so many games before this game. It's a big game. It comes with pressure because you have the ability of the chance to win a major prize. But, you know, in any top sport, you have to have a little bit of pressure to perform well. And that's what we have to do.
Rangers fans, how many times have we done this together? Here's your team news. Never has it carried as much significance as it does tonight. Andrew McLean, who's been given the nod?
Yeah, what a decision Giovanni Van Bronckhorst had to make ahead of this game. And he's gone for the same team that started against Leipzig at home. And I think it's the team that many supporters were predicting as well. Alan McGregor starting in goal for them. The back four, James Tavernier, Connor Goldson, Calvin Bassey and Borna Barisic. The midfield three, Glenn Kamara, Ryan Jack and John Lundstrom. And it'll be Scott Wright and Ryan Kent either side of Joe Aribo. The substitutes for Rangers tonight: McCrory, McLaughlin, Diallo, Davis, Ramsey, Sands, Roof, Balogun, Sakala, Arfield, King and Lowry.
Rangers fans, what do you make of that? Like I said, that's as important a team announcement as we've had on this show in a long, long time. Andy Halliday has some strong thoughts on how that team will line up, and we'll hear them next.
Rangers are heading to Seville.
Rangers in the Europa League final. Ryan Kent, a big smile across his face, tears in the eyes of John Lundstrom. We know what it's worth. Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans, Gordon Dalziel, and despite Twitter speculation, Andy Halliday is here in the studio. Now, that's not to say I don't appreciate getting tweets from all 354 Rangers fans who who've sent it in. Yes, there is a steward in the stadium who apparently looks quite like Andy Halliday, but I can confirm that he is very much here. Connor has sent me it. Giraffe Stefferson has sent me it. Big Cheddar has sent me it. Who else? Gordon Stewart has sent me it. This same picture of this steward that looks like Andy Halliday. He's here. Can you confirm you're in Clydebank?
Yes, I'm live in the studio. I don't have an earpiece at the sidelines of the Seville Stadium.
He's even brought in banana cake.
Great to have you. See that? Cupcakes there as well. Did you spot them?
I am Mrs. so impressed
Halliday,
with them.
Andy's mum has produced the cupcakes for tonight, Hugh Keevan. Yes. Are you happy with that?
Very spectacular they are too.
I must admit, the sight of you biting into a red, white and blue cupcake will go viral on social media. I have no doubt about that whatsoever. Let's revisit the stadium over there, the Roman Sanchez Pizjuan Stadium. Andrew McLean, just recap those teams quickly for us and we'll get some reaction from the callers.
Yeah, well, it's the same team that started against Leipzig in that game where Rangers beat them at Ibrox. Alan McGregor starting in goal. The back four, James Tavernier, Connor Goldson, Calvin Bassey and Borna Barisic. It's then a midfield three of Glenn Kamara, Ryan Jack and John Lundstrom, with Scott Wright, Joe Aribo and Ryan Kent in the front three. The substitutes for Rangers tonight: McLaughlin, McCrory, Balogun, King, Davis, Ramsey, Sands, Arfield, Lowry, Diallo, Roof and Sakala.
Or Andy Halliday, is there a potential there for Rangers to play with a back three tonight, and John Lundstrom part of that, as they've done before?
Yeah, I had a sneaky feeling all week that it's maybe the route they would go down. I think the one thing I could say with that starting 11, it is very flexible. I think you've seen that during the Leipzig game with the same players that were on the pitch. They deployed the three at the back and then changed into the midfield three. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the first minute set up is, but I've just got a sneaky feeling it might be three at the back.
That's the beauty of this Rangers run to the final, Gordon. There's no point in us arguing too much about it. We will find out. But there is that flexibility there.
What helps the flexibility is the fact that, unfortunately for Rangers, and we spoke about it week in, week out, every time it's coming up to one of these games, no centre forward. Flexibility is the fact that they can change that formation with that starting 11. You know, you can go to the three, Lundstrom drops in there, Wright and Kent can go through the middle. I think they'll start tonight with back four, Gordon. I think they'll go three. Wright and Kent will give them the width early doors. But the one thing I like about Rangers in Europe, especially the manager, he identifies the problems very quickly. And as I said, he doesn't need to make a substitution. He can change that with the personnel on the pitch, which helps him.
Our old colleague Alex Ray on the TV there, that's the sharpest I've ever seen him. Yep. He's in that suit specially made for this. He's usually one of those sort of ill-fitting numbers. That's top and draw.
That's the club tie from the period when he played at Rangers.
2004, he's still got the club tie.
Oh, is that what it is?
Right, now I love when this happens because, you know, it's live and things are changing. We're getting news all the time. Now, when Derek and Govan called in, he wanted to see Roof and Ramsey start the game. Now, you've just had the heartbreaking news, Derek. Neither of them do. But what do you make of that team this evening that the manager's picked?
No, I can understand why Gilles went with the same team. I think Scott Wright, a cracking game against Leipzig, probably deserves his chance. But after I went with Ramsey and Roof, but our bench is strong tonight. So, credit to Gio, and we can just look forward to the game and hopefully bring the European trophy home.
The clue for Ramsey was in Saturday, Andy, as you know fine well. You were there, it was against your team. I think everyone knew that the players that started that day, none of them were going to start. But there was a question mark because Kemar Roof, who's not played, he's barely trained, was on the flight. And it got everyone excited. And Giovanni Van Bronckhorst said he's fit, he's available. Does that surprise you at all that he's not in tonight?
No, and I think it shows that he's fit, but just not that fit enough. He's maybe not trained for a sustained period of time, so I wasn't too surprised not to see his name in the starting lineup. To be honest, I do think it's a blow. I must say my confidence levels for Rangers would be higher if he was fitting in the team. They would be even higher if Alfredo Morelos was fitting in the team, as I've seen him strut through 100,000 Rangers fans in the middle of Seville. But I couldn't see Ramsey starting.
Derek, how confident are you with that team that you get the job done tonight?
Confident, aye. I slept like a baby last night, so confident. I think we'll win 3-2 or 3-1.
Fair play. I thought there would be a lot of sleepless nights last night. Not for Derek. He's confident, he's comfortable.
Well, again, you know, you talk about Morelos. Morelos has been out since before the quarter-final stage. Roof hasn't been there when Rangers have qualified for Seville. So these guys deserve their places. I don't think that Aaron Ramsey has done enough to merit being in there from the start. And Kamar Roof has missed 7 domestic matches before this game tonight. So decisions have been taken for solid, practical reasons. And Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, if he's guided Rangers this far, I don't think he can contradict
his
team selection.
That's his best starting 11 tonight. Yeah. There's no doubt in that. That's
so not Kamar Roof.
No, no. I mean, with the personnel of fitness, games, everything, semi-final, Wright deserves to be in there tonight. He could be a big player for him. The good thing about it is he's got the bench there as well. As I keep saying, he can change formations with that personnel on the pitch. I just think his hand was forced because of injuries. I totally agree. Yes, you can look back and think Morelos is a massive miss, but they've been through a few hurdles without Morelos and still scoring goals, especially at Ibrox when they look brilliant in the front attacking situation. So tonight, I think that's his best.
I'm not
11
saying,
just now.
You know, he won't be missed at all. And he's right. You want your top European scorer in your history to be there. But he wasn't there for the quarters, he wasn't there for the semis, and Rangers still got there.
What does that say about this Rangers team, Derek, that they don't have a recognised striker on the pitch tonight and no one is overly concerned about it?
It just shows you the character of the team and the bond they've got. I think they can get through any tie, they can adapt to any situation, you know.
Does it help, Andy, that they're, as Hugh said, you know, they're experienced in this now? If Alfredo Morelos and Kamar Roof tackle each other yesterday in training and are both ruled out, then it's the end of the world.
Yeah, and the first time they experienced a game without any striker was Braga away, and you could see for that performance it was something that didn't suit them. But then game by game, obviously training session by training session, try to combat that, you can see that they're starting to be a little bit more suited to it. But one thing I will say, regardless, if there isn't a recognised striker up there, they do need bodies up the pitch to try and stretch it. And I think Ryan Kent for me is of massive importance to Rangers tonight. I think domestically, I don't think he's had a great season by a player of his calibre, but I think in Europe he's really stood up in big moments, and I think Rangers need him to be on top form to win this game.
I don't know how far you'd need to go back to emphasise this point. It wouldn't be far, though, that you say Aaron Ramsey will be a Rangers player, by the way, but he won't get a game in the Europa League final. Oh, and remember Scott Wright, who, yeah, had injuries, but had a loan spell at Dundee and was kind of in and out the Aberdeen team, and he'll start a European final. You'll sign Glenn Kamara from 50 grand, you know, start a European final. That's the storyline that's there for all these guys, you know. And I think maybe Scott Wright in particular,
yeah,
rarely in the Rangers team until a couple of weeks ago, a couple of months ago, and now he starts a European final.
And it just shows you how quickly football can change. And, you know, like Andrew said, it's the same team that started the Leipzig game, and it's a total value of 11.5 million. So it shows the feat they've already had. And listen, the likes of Scott Wright that you've mentioned, nobody can take it away from them now that they've played in the Europa League final, but certainly carries a bigger weight if you're going to win a Europa League final.
I think he'll be a big player for them tonight, and especially if we're led to believe, Gordon, I'm looking at the caption there of Frankfurt, they play with a three at the back. Now, if Rangers go and play with Aribo as a false nine, and they stick Wright and Ken on the left and right, respectively, then it gives them a problem. You know, does the two wing-backs go forward, or do they go with Wright and Ken? It gives Rangers a bit more space in the middle of the park where they've got three players and Aribo dropping off, making that a four. They can control that area. I think tactically battle tonight will be brilliant.
Thank you very much, Derek. That was Derek and Govan, 01419511025. We've got the guys out and about at various points across Seville, so we will keep checking in there and seeing what's going on as we build up to one of the great nights in Scottish football history. Of course, there have been many, but this would certainly rank amongst them. And I'll tell you what an incentive. Imagine being the person that comes on and wins Beat the Pundit on a night like this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
And I'll tell you what a choice you've got tonight. If you want to play Beat the Pundit, you have the top of the table, Andy Halliday. You've got the bottom of the table, Gordon DL. And you've got the second bottom of the table in Hugh Keevans. So avoid Halliday is basically the aim tonight. 01419511025. Get your calls in before 7 o'clock. And like I said, quite cool. You can say forever you were the person who beat the pundit on the night that a Scottish club played in a European final. So get your calls in and you could be up next.
Rangers are heading to Seville.
We know what it's worth. Rangers in the Europa League final.
This is going to be another roller coaster, a nail biter.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
What a night we have in store in Seville and across Glasgow and the West. Rangers are now less than an hour away from kicking off in the Europa League final. Eintracht Frankfurt stand between this Rangers side and immortality in the eyes of the Rangers fans. We've already given you the teams, so get your reaction in. It's the same team that played in the semi-final against Leipzig. How on earth are you feeling, Rangers fans? I mean, I can sense the atmosphere from across Glasgow in the West. I can get a real flavour of it from the guys over in Seville, which we'll speak to very soon indeed. So goodness knows how you must be feeling. Pick up the phone and let us know. And as always, we play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
We've missed a trick. We should have got Andrew or Gabriel to just grab someone and do a live Beat the Pundit from Seville. That would have been quite something. But I think we've got the next best thing. Trevor is in Kilmarnock. How's it going, Trevor?
Yeah, good, thanks. How are you?
And Trevor, you're a Kilmarnock fan, yes?
Yes, correct.
So congratulations to you. It's been a successful season, coming back to the top table. Do you have any vested interest tonight? What do you think?
To be fair, I hope Rangers win. It'll be good for Scottish football.
I think you look not naive about it. Not everyone has to feel that way. Like, when people can feel what they like, and especially the rivalry, fine. But you know, it would be nice if a sizeable amount could acknowledge what it would do for the profile, and of course it would get two teams in the Champions League. That's not to say everyone has to do it. Fine, think what you like. Rivalry's fine, but you can understand that from Trevor.
Two ways of looking at it. It's not really good for Scottish football. It's good for Celtic and Rangers. If Rangers join
no, but it's
Celtic,
good, look, it's good for the profile for Scottish football to have a European winner.
I gave you the first part. Now I'm about to give you the second part.
it was when you said it's not good for Scottish football. It's good for Celtic and Rangers. I thought I'd maybe test your theory.
It's good for Scottish
kind of what
football
I'm here for.
In the sense that our commercial profile has soared. And when the current television contract expires, we have such a strong hand when it comes to renegotiation, because Celtic and Rangers, the Champions League, everything about our profile has been heightened. And people, in fact, Rangers more than any other club, said that we had undersold ourselves in Scottish football. Not after tonight, if Rangers win.
Anyway, let's play Beat the Pundit. It might not be the most important game tonight, right? Even I would concede that. But it's a chance for Trevor to be the winner on the night that Rangers play a Europa League final. So let's find out. We've got three pundits tonight. Trevor, as a Kilmarnock man, you'll be wanting to face the ex-Air United manager, surely?
You better believe it. After 1998.
What happened in 1998?
Exactly, you can't remember a thing, Trevor. But anyway, he's the bottom of the table on Beat the Pundit as well, so you'll be hoping you do face him.
44 games, in. I'm getting cramp.
I hope it is you.
There'll only be three names.
Producer Callum, what does that name say?
It says Andy Halliday.
I knew it was going to be me three. It's not the night for me.
Go on, Trevor.
Yeah, you've got other things on your mind. Scottish Cup final and the Europa League final. Right, we'll give Andy some Clyde 2 to listen to so that he can hear what's going on. Trevor, 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can. And you're welcome to pass if you don't know, okay?
Yep.
Right, let's do it. 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Who scored more goals in the Europa League for Rangers this season, Balogun or Kamara?
Kamara.
Who was sent off in Celtic's 2003 UEFA Cup final?
Mialbi.
What nationality is former Rangers player Paolo Vanoli?
Italian.
Which English Championship side does Scott McKenna play for?
Birmingham.
Which side did Jeremy Tolyan join Celtic from on loan?
Pass.
Name either Scottish Premiership manager who won Manager of the Month just once this season.
Sorry, can you repeat that?
Name either Scottish Premiership manager who won Manager of the Month just once this season. Just guess one.
Mine's went blank.
Any manager in the top flight, guess one.
Go for
Robinson.
I was feeling very generous there with the time. Let's bring Andy Halliday back. Can
did
you hear
he get
us?
The answer? 6 minutes?
No, it was 3 hours.
Listen, just you quite mind quick. Your own business over there and get ready to answer the questions already. 30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts. Who scored more goals in the Europa League for Rangers this season, Balogun or Kamara?
Balogun.
Who was sent off in Celtic's 2003 UEFA Cup final?
Chris Sutton.
What nationality is former Rangers player Paolo Vanoli?
Italian.
Which English Championship side does Scott McKenna play for?
Nottingham Forest.
Which side did Jeremy Tolyan join Celtic on loan from?
Leon.
Name either Scottish Premiership manager who won Manager of the Month just once this season.
Robbie Nielsen.
Name the only top six side who didn't win a post-split game.
Ross County.
Okay. Trevor, he's top of the table for a reason. Do you think you've done enough to topple him tonight?
Probably not.
He sounded confident, didn't he? Have you ever seen Andy play before? He's alright, isn't he?
He's a thin man's Roger Hanna, the way he goes about his business, right?
You talking about the hair or the waistline?
Everything, even the hair. He's got two strands.
Even Roger's he's got more hair than Roger Hanna.
Yeah, but he concentrates the same way. He takes it so serious.
Well, do you know what? Hold on. I can't believe you're saying that. You hear that surprised tone, Hugh, as if like concentrating's a... It's kind of a bare minimum, you would have thought. No, that just gives you an insight.
It's hard to concentrate when he keeps going, that's tough.
Concentration is an alien concept for the Dazzler.
It really is. He switches off so quickly. Right, who
there's
scored...
a bad answer in there though, and
I know
the right one.
Terrible. Who scored more for Rangers in the Europa League this season, Balogun or Kamara? 50-50, Trevor.
Balogun,
and you got it wrong.
2-1.
It's 2-1 to Balogun. So Andy goes one in front. Who was sent off in 2003?
Bobo Baldi.
Not Chris Sutton. Oh, what were you going to say?
Paul Lambert.
No, Bobo Baldi. Anyway, 1-0 to Andy. Paolo Vanoli is Italian, so you're hanging on in there, Trevor. 2-1 down. He starts to stretch his legs a little bit. Scott McKenna plays for Nottingham Forest. 3-1. Jeremy Tolyan, though, you're not invincible. Borussia Dortmund.
Didn't he know it was a...
Do you remember that?
No.
It was a French guess.
There's no point me even kidding on, I remember that.
Name either Scottish Premiership manager who's won Manager of the Month just once this season. You had the choice of Giovanni Van Bronckhorst or Robbie Nielsen. It's his own gaffer, Trevor, so he's striding away.
Is that a guess?
No.
And name the only top six side who didn't win any post-split games. Easy for me to say. It was Ross County as well. So it was a 5-1 for Andy Halliday. Hard lines, Trevor.
Well done, Andy.
Unlucky, Trevor.
You met a man.
Don't phone back in, Trevor. Embarrass yourself.
Ah, he's getting the VAR United dig in there, Trevor.
Did you notice the two questions I got wrong as well? Yeah. That's no surprise.
Celtic questions. Usually you're good across the board.
Usually
but,
not bad.
Yeah, that was a decent effort, I must admit. You impressed?
I like the way he went about his business. Preparation, eyes closed, everything, concentration.
He concentrated. I can't believe it.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, we're glad, Hugh, because I think we've got many shows left and we've no balls left.
No, we got one sign, or did it go? It went last night, did it? The sign ball, we're out of sign balls.
So you've saved our bacon.
Yeah, there you go.
I still debate
my only loss and beat the pundit. I still think it's a farce.
Good to see.
And it was still Callum's fault.
Andy, just relax. It's only a game.
The way the crow flies as a tiebreak, it was a disgrace.
I'd like to hear Andy play Marvin Bartley. The two biggest moaners.
I know, honestly.
That would be a landslide victory for Halliday if I played him.
Did he play last night? I thought he was hopeless.
He lost last night. Yeah, he lost
the
final sign ball.
Last ball. You saved us.
It's tougher for Marvin. He's an adopted Scot. You know, we've brought him up here a few years ago. So he's never going to get some of the.
Yeah, but it's when he can't get the Livingston questions right. It's a bit of a worry.
What does the caller win now? If
they still win a sign ball, but the pundit.
I signed Hugh Keevans. We've got to buy it.
The pundit needs to buy the ball. Basically, yeah. That's the way it's going to need to work. The budget is shot. I mean, Hugh, tonight we're on till 11 o'clock roundabout there. We always get the food in, so we've gone 3 pizzas and a salad for Andy Halliday because he's 2 days out, 3 days out from a final. So the budget is stretched.
If I lose on Friday, I'll give you a signed cardigan.
I think we should do that. Can we do that? Absolutely. In fact, you can go on Twitter right now, I believe. We've cleared it up, right? Because everyone's asking. Quite frankly, it's distracting me because I've got, you know, important things to do here. And every time I look at the TV, at the Twitter, someone is tweeting me that picture of Andy Halliday's lookalike steward from the stadium in Seville. So he's not there, right? We've cleared it up tonight. We've sent the picture of Andy in the studio with his high-vis vest on, just to compare it to Andy Halliday in the studio. I must say, I can't believe you brought your own high-vis vest for the show.
I've just flew straight in for Pitchside at Seville.
Aidan's calling you Andy Holiday. I like that.
That's good. Decent. Yep,
that's not bad at all. What else have we got in there? Fuzzy says one looks like a plastic security guard you see working in Toys R Us, and the other is in Seville, says Fuzzy. Andreas Halliday says,
yeah, I was thinking that would be Andre. I thought that would come out
somewhere. Okay. Yeah, he has written Andre, to be fair. My eyesight's going. Danny says the one on the right's a better player. Talking about the guy in Seville.
Agree, but a bit naughty.
Dino says the one on the right has been to one more final than the one on the left.
I still threw one each.
We're you're getting a bit of praise here. Josh says he wishes he was as handsome as Andy. All right, Josh, rein it in. Come on, it's a family show. Union Lad says Andy's da has some questions to answer. I think we'll move on for that since Mrs. Halliday sent the cakes in. We can't do that after she's been so kind to send.
What's your wee mug's name?
Lynn.
Thank you very much. You're a gem of a woman. Yeah, thank you very much. I mean, we've not tried them yet. They might be rotten, but they look great for
what
it's
worth.
We'll
tell you later, Lynn.
RFC says, what's he doing hanging about with you losers? Tell him to get to the nearest Rangers pub and enjoy himself. I can't really argue with that, to be fair, but he's got a cup final in a couple of days. He's drinking a bottle of water as we speak.
Yeah. So professional. Where's the smart aleck that called us losers? Where's he?
I mean, he's
in a Rangers pub, I'd imagine.
He's dedicated his entire Twitter profile to PlayStation. So his profile picture's PlayStation, and that's his actual handle as well. So we'll be taking no life lessons from that man, Hugh. I guarantee you.
A man of high intellect.
To be fair, you've never even heard of the PlayStation.
No, the grandkids have got that. That stuff.
That stuff.
That reminded me, I still game with the PlayStation.
You play the PlayStation, I play the PlayStation. We'll get Hugh Keevans recording that in a second. Right, we're going to speak to Jordan very soon. I'm excited about this because he's in the Fan Zone Stadium. Gabriel's about to walk into the Fan Zone Stadium. Maybe we can make them meet Gabriel. So you've actually been outside all this time. What's happening?
Gordon, you're keeping me waiting. No, I'm just joking. The queue actually took about 45 minutes for the little mile walk from the fan zone to the stadium. I'm just going in now. I'm in the concourse and I can see the Cartuja pitch ahead of me. Walking up now, and right in front of us are one of the giant screens. Four screens across the entire pitch, full of Rangers fans ready to see their team, hopefully for them, lift the Europa League. Now, you think back to 2003 when you see this stadium. Even Celtic fans now still reminisce. It holds a place in their heart. But all these Rangers fans are hoping that it will hold a place in their heart come 90 minutes' time. The atmosphere is a bit subdued here. The sun has just gone away. The Rangers fans certainly pleased about that. I was speaking to plenty in the queue just there. They were all absolutely delighted as well with the team selection. Plenty of shouts of Gio. The John Lundstrom song won't stop. I'll be hearing that in my sleep tonight. But everything is getting ready nicely here. Atmosphere ready to go. Kickoff not far away.
Hugh, that's the stadium you were in 2003, isn't it?
Correct.
What row did you leave the sandals in again, just so Gabriel can have a wee look?
I think it was P23.
It's quite it's one of these frustrating things. We won't moan about it too much. The game's approaching, but it's a much bigger stadium than the one that Rangers are actually playing in. It's one of UEFA's weird and wonderful ideas.
Yeah, it's completely without sense or reason. But it takes an awful lot of Rangers supporters off the streets of Seville, gives them that shared experience in that stadium, watching their team on the big screens. I think that's a good idea. Why it's not the choice of venue for the final itself, that's a bad idea.
Look, let's not spoil the excitement. We hope it all goes well, everyone enjoys their time. By the looks of it, it is quite tough to get in and around the stadium, and the police are making it tough and doing all what they would say is necessary checks, I'm sure, but it's taking a long old time. It's hot. I don't think there's a lot of water out there, so hopefully everyone is managing to look after themselves. What's happening actually in the Roman Sanchez Pizjuan Stadium? Gordon Dalziel's just delighted he doesn't have to say that. Andrew McLean. He's gone for a pie. Do they do pies in Spain? What is it?
No, paella.
Tapas.
Paella.
Good time tonight. It's a bit of a tongue twister, but the Rangers team are just coming out to train at the moment.
You can hear the noise levels. I think Andrew McLean's maybe a little bit behind us there over in Seville, so we'll leave him be for a second and get that cleared up. Jordan is a Rangers fan, and you're in the fan zone as well, Jordan.
I am in the fan zone, by the way. Thanks, Jordan, for accepting my call.
Delighted to have you. How is it?
Listen, it's a good atmosphere. Like, it's just, it's starting to get really busy now. A lot of fans coming up, which is good, and I'm glad they put on a fan zone for the fans. Unfortunately, I didn't get a ticket, but there's a good number here. There's a good number of Rangers fans, and it's very exciting for the tag.
Yeah, it's the next best thing, isn't it? So how many of you are there, Jordan? How did you get there? Take us through the last couple of days.
We drove down to London, London Stansted, and then got the flight to Murcia, and then hired a car. Sorry, by the way, if you can't hear me. A lot of Rangers fans.
I can hear you loud and clear, don't you worry.
We drove to, got to Murcia, and then drove to Seville, and we are staying in Seville. A bit expensive, but listen, it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I said that in 2008. We all said that in 2008. And it's worked out. It's happened twice in 14 years, but it seemed like a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, so we had to come. We all had to come. So.
How long's that drive then, once you got to Spain?
It was 4.5 hours from Murcia, I think. So Murcia,
that's not too bad.
4.5 hours.
I mean, you've driven to London before you've even flown out, Gordon Dale. You don't honestly see this guy anything more than 15 minutes and he's...
It's not happening.
No, it's not happening for
so
me. So
the dedication, the commitment from Jordan and Govan.
Yeah, I'd have been out the car at Hamilton. I don't fancy it now. No, the commitment for these supporters is incredible, Gordon. We've heard for a week now about the journeys and where they're going, how they're getting there. They're travelling, you know, hours and hours and hours. I heard the other day, 28 hours in a bus just to get there. And a lot of them, and this is where I find it astonishing of these people, they've not got tickets, they just want to be near there. They want to be involved, they want to be a part of it. And what a great achievement it'd be if they could be a part of Rangers lifting that trophy tonight.
I tell you what, that is never 9,500 Rangers fans in that stadium. You're looking at from halfway line to the other halfway line, just blue jerseys. And I think it was reported earlier there's potentially 20,000 that have managed to get tickets in the stadium, and you can see quite clearly there's no chance that's 9,500.
Yeah, it certainly looks like a lot, unless the seats are blue or something in that end, which I don't think is the case. Jordan, what are you expecting when the actual football game kicks off? Because, you know, it's another 90 minutes. We've spoken about so many of them, but this one obviously feels different.
It's been a wee... I've got mixed feelings on it, to be honest. Every round I've been like, it's going to be one step too far, and it's turned out to be the opposite. We've beat better teams, so we beat better teams in Frankfurt, but that doesn't mean nothing, to be honest. Like, Frankfurt are sitting whatever, better teams in the league or whatever, but they're unbeaten in this competition this season, so that speaks for itself. But in terms of how I'm feeling about the Rangers team, Rangers have scored, 16 goals in the knockout rounds. Tav scored 7 of the goals himself. So I'm confident, but it's just, I don't know, I'm just feeling a wee bit weird about it. But like, I'm confident, but something just, I'm confident we'll win. But I like to have the mentality as we're not going to lose, or we're going to lose, and then we're going to surprise everybody, because I think everybody in Scotland thinks we're probably going to win, but
I know you're trying to talk yourself into this, Jordan. You're playing reverse psychology with yourself, and I understand that. Some fans like to play it down and hope that it goes well rather than a positive prediction. David Lees, I think, sums it up how he's feeling. He says, bag of jaggies, he says. So that will sum up the feelings for a lot of Rangers fans. Don't forget, it's also a big night for this.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Golden goals. 3 days to go.
You heard it, 3 days left to enter Clyde One Super Scoreboard's Golden Goals. You can win yourself over 36 grand in tax-free cash. I know a lot of you have broken the bank to get to Seville. And look, let's be honest, if you're a rival fan and this doesn't go the way you want it to, you might want to leave the country for a couple of weeks. So we can sort you out just by sending one text. We're already sitting at 36,250. We'll put even more in the cash jackpot for every goal Rangers score tonight, and then again on Saturday. Although Andy Halliday, I'm sure, will be hoping to keep a clean sheet. Don't leave it until it's too late. We're 3 days away, so we're at that stage where you really need to get the phone out. Text GOAL to 61025. That's GOAL to 61025. It is £2 to text, plus your standard message rate, over 18s only. And the full terms and online entry are at Clyde1.com. Lines close at 6 p.m. Saturday the 21st of May. That's this Saturday. So one last reminder, text GOAL to 61025 right now.
Kent, a big smile across his face, tears in the eyes of John Lundstrom. We know what it's worth. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
What a night we have in store, whether it's Seville, here, or various corners of the globe, because everyone with a Rangers connection is so excited about what's to come. 35 minutes to go, Rangers fans. How are the nerves? If you're in Seville, pick up the phone. Lots of you have been doing it, and by the way, we're so appreciative of that. The thought process to be out there and be thinking about us stuck back here is incredible. We're really delighted that you're taking the time to do that. We've got one reporter, we've got Andrew in the actual stadium that the game's going to take place. We've got Gabriel in the other stadium, the fan zone with the big screens. We've got Selena from our news team who's out and about at other places in the city as well. So let's hear from Selena and get a flavour of what's going on out and about in Seville.
Yeah, thanks Gordon. I'm here at one of the unofficial Rangers fan zones, a huge open air arena on the outskirts of the city centre. The sun's shining here, and as you can probably hear behind me, the place is absolutely buzzing. There's DJs playing, beach balls being thrown around, and most importantly, there's a massive screen. Fans have been singing since the moment they got in the gates here earlier. You can really feel the excitement building up in the air as the game draws closer.
All across the city, the Rangers fans are having to find various places to go. That will be the same here, and Andy Halliday is stuck next to Hugh Keevans and Gordon Deal. In between them, no less. There's somewhere you never thought you would be on a night of Rangers playing a big game. But there we are, we're glad you're here as well. Let's bring in Stephen, who is a Rangers fan from Motherwell. How are you feeling tonight, Stephen? What are your plans? Are you watching it at home?
Yeah, I'm watching it at home. I'm not a Motherwell fan, I'm a Motherwell fan, Gordon.
Oh, you're a Motherwell fan, sorry. Take it away, regardless. I've always got room for them on the show, don't worry.
No, so basically, the story I've got is, as you can hear, my voice a wee bit crackly, but I'm just back from my stag do yesterday morning at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
And my brother-in-law is literally away to the game. He's stepped off the plane, onto a cab, didn't he, Luton, and he's away over in Seville just now.
Ooh. What's your brother-in-law's name?
Scott Brownlee.
Scott Brownlee's liver. I'm a little bit worried. Please drink responsibly, Scott Brownlee, if you're listening. So where was the stag?
The stag was in Tenerife, mate.
Oh, that's straight off the plane, that, on a drive to Luton.
It's a dazzler favourite, that,
no, Tenerife, no. Okay, I'll accept that, but not right down to Luton. That's a no-no.
I'm worried about the brother-in-law, Hugh, I must admit. He'll be fine.
He'll be back tender.
Several hundred will not be back by the weekend. Several hundred may not come back at all.
Andy's going to run out, and the Rangers ends is going to be empty on Saturday.
Well,
incredible, isn't it?
I shudder to think at the number of lost passports between now and takeoff time.
It doesn't even be thinking about that.
I was doing some work at the airport today, and people flying out. So that was your day trippers then, really? The people who are just going to the game and then coming back on the plane.
That would be the most nervous one for me.
Because you can't even put your head down
not
for the night.
But just in case anything happened with the travel, delay or something like that.
Spoke to one guy and said, when are you due to arrive? He said 4 o'clock.
Oh no, that's cutting it tight. That's panic time. That is panic time for me. I couldn't take that.
I actually heard a story about one of the flights being delayed as well today. Don't know if you heard the same story.
Is it one you can share on a family show?
Yeah. It was on Sky Sports News. Which,
we'll be fine then. It's public, in the public domain.
It wasn't very nice. Some way had poor health, shall we say. Bad, but
I'm on board medical
and
emergency.
Yeah, and I think it got delayed by 90 minutes. So if it was that 4 o'clock flight, then
it's touch and go. It is touch and go. I mean, Stephen, then, what? You're a Motherwell fan. You've obviously got the family connection. How do you feel about tonight?
Yeah, I mean, I think Rangers will get a 2-1, maybe 3-1. I think if they bring on Kamal Roof, it could be a game changer. But we'll just have to wait and see. It's a big game, so just have to wait and see how they go on.
I mean, look, there's no, obviously we know how Andy Halliday feels about tonight, Hugh. It's easy for us as well. Here's the way I look at it, right? If Rangers win tonight, we're going to have Champions League football midweek on this show next season.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be selfish for a minute and make it all about us on this show. Think about that. Imagine two teams. Imagine what Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday will look like next season if we've got two teams in the Champions League group stages between August and Christmas and maybe beyond.
It takes this already mad city to a higher level of madness
but it will be great for our game. And as I said earlier, it will be great for the commercial value of our game. If you want a part of us now, you'd better be prepared to pay decent money.
Andy, that's the extra incentive. Look, winning a European trophy just speaks for itself. It doesn't really matter whether you get Champions League qualification or not, except it does once you start looking at the money and the profile and what's next, the players you can attract, the players you might be able to keep.
Yeah, well, I mean, you've seen for the Stuart Robertson interview last week, he says that by getting to the final, they've only just surpassed the Champions League money they could have got if they beat Malmo. So it just shows you how lucrative this Europa League run's been for them. But you know, to win a trophy and then guarantee that Champions League pot, it'll be massive for the club.
Let's go back. I'm just going to keep saying the name of the stadium because I know you like
it so much. Gordon.
The Roman Sanchez Pizjuan Stadium in Seville. Andrew McLean is there. Andrew, tell us a little bit about what's happening.
Yeah, I am indeed. You should just see, it's a real spectacle at the moment. I know they said in the lead up to this that there was 9,500 fans of each side that were going to be in here. That is absolute nonsense, by the way. About three quarters of it, maybe just under that, is a sea of blue. Rangers fans have done absolutely anything and everything to make sure that they are in this ground to see this game. They've got their flags, they've got their scarves, and I would say 90% of them have their blue tops on, which I think was arranged by bigger supporters groups of Rangers fans, so they would all be wearing blue. And if you look to my right as well, got to give a mention to the Frankfurt fans here as well, because they've got their own dress code, and I've never seen anything like it in a football stadium. I would say that every single Frankfurt fan I can see in this stadium is dressed head to toe in white, and it makes for a real spectacle. They've even got sort of white banners that they've brought along with them to cover the advertising board, so there is just a full wall of white over to my right, and you can hear the noise around me. It's been like this since an hour and a half before kickoff, and we've still got a good bit of time, half an hour to go until kickoff now, and it's just going to get louder and louder in here.
Yeah, surprisingly, Andy Halliday just came in a white t-shirt tonight, so little did he know that
he's changing.
Supporting Frankfurt. I saw that, Andy, a sort of plea went out, didn't there, for Rangers fans, because you know there's various strips of various colours, but everyone will wear blue.
Yeah.
And it's a small thing, but visually it looks brilliant if all your fans on the same colour.
Yeah, it really does add to the spectacle, and Andrew's right. I mean, we've seen sort of glimpses of the Frankfurt end as well, and just seeing them all in white, it does really add to the visual aspect of the game. But honestly, just get kickoff now, Dazza.
He's running about, he's excited. I can't wait for the game.
I think he was playing.
Oh, unbelievable. I've never seen any. His legs are going, he's standing up, he's sitting down, he's drinking water. There's about a gallon of water away already. We're in for some night with him.
On a personal level, how do you feel? Because these are your friends.
Yeah.
You know, that are about to go and do this. How does that feel?
I wouldn't say it was any different, even if there was any ex-teammates of mine in there. But listen, I wish them all the best. It's some of the boys have been through the ringer, let's be honest, and to even get to this stage of the competition is obviously massive for them. But I mean, it's life changing. It's as simple as that. If they go and win this trophy, it's life changing for them.
How do you mean through the ringer?
Well, so James Tavernier, for example, has obviously been through the Championship. I don't think there's a player in that Rangers team that's been criticised more than he has. And like I said, if you look at 7 years ago to where he is now, obviously captain of the football club, and like I said, in my opinion, 90 minutes away from being in the Hall of Fame, then listen, I hope they can do it.
Stephen, stay in touch, let us know how the brother-in-law gets on. That was Stephen from Motherwell. Let's hear a bit more from Giovanni Van Bronckhorst. He might be about to deliver his final team talk ahead of a Europa League final. What a responsibility, what a job. Here's what he had to say on that topic.
I always have some final words, and sometimes it comes, you know, in the moment. I mean, I'm a coach who is always trusting his feeling and his gut, and that can change. It can be in meetings or maybe on the pitch or just before a game. But I think you have the players will know how important this game is. But it's always good to prepare them for anything that comes and give them maybe that extra percent of motivation. But really, I don't think this team needs any more motivation than we are feeling all now.
I wonder what that balance is like, Andy, between just doing what you always do. He seems very calm and very methodical, and will put a message across, and how much time you do dedicate to acknowledging that this is a Europa League final, this is a life-changing game. I wonder how he'll approach that.
Well, I mean, for players, I don't think any fire in their bellies required by a managerial sorry, the manager's words in terms of a team talk. So I actually think his calm demeanour probably suits these type of games and just gets the players relaxed. That, listen, they know how big this game is. They know what's expected of them. But I think his calm approach is certainly probably going to be to a huge benefit of these players. And I think one thing I will say is I think when Rangers are at their best in Europa League, and they have been this season, is when they start fast. So I really do hope I see them coming at the gates flying tonight, because I think it could set them up well for the tie.
It would be very interesting to be in that dressing room to actually hear that final sort of a chalk before the gout, Gordon. I agree with Andy. I think he's calm, he'll be collective. I think it'll be from the heart. I don't think it'll be one that, right, I was sitting last night, what's the last thing I say? I think it'll be the emotion of the time that he tells them what's going to happen.
Just to go back to Andy's point about Rangers start fast, in the Europa League run, of their 23 goals, 13 have been scored in the first half. So, you know, they make a point of that.
I love it. This guy's done his research. Yeah. He knows it's the big game. That's why he's here.
John, Gordon, sorry, just a quick announcement to people that's listening out there.
What's happening?
Andy Halliday's working. Whoever's phoned him, he'll speak to you later on after the game.
It'll be 300 folk in Seville saying, "Where are you, Andy?"
I've just seen you pit side.
What are those players like then? Is any vocal members of that squad, who will be the ones that are things to say at this point?
I think, I mean, they've got plenty. When you look at like James Tavernier obviously being the captain, Conor Goldson being the vice captain, Alan McGregor's certainly very vocal in the changing room. Stephen Davis isn't the most vocal, but he's certainly someone that might pull somebody 1v1 and tell them what's expected of them. But I think the real leaders will show themselves on the football pitch. I think that's always the most important thing when these big games come. So if Rangers are to go out and win this game, they need their big players to stand up. And like I touched on earlier, I do really, really feel that Ryan Kent is of massive importance tonight.
And it will be a back four. Did you see that, Andy?
No, I did not.
Behind Gordon there, the back four are warming up, doing
together,
that
as a unit.
Yeah, so it looks like they're going to start with a back four. It
certainly does. Let's bring in Eric, who's a Rangers fan. Where are you tonight, Eric?
I'm in Bermuda.
That's as good a place as any. Are you on holiday or do you live there?
No, I work there. I work here.
Brilliant. How long have you been there then this time?
4 months.
4 months. And is there such a thing as a Bermuda Rangers supporters club?
There is. You ready for this?
It sounds like there's a Rangers Bermuda supporters club. I think there's a DJ Hugh who just gave us a shout out. I think that's sort of what happened. Yeah. They've got the George Bowie equivalent over in Bermuda. Eric, from the other side of the world, what does this mean to you?
Oh well, I've been old enough. I've seen 72. I was 7, 84, and I mean the last one in Manchester. Now here, I'm confident we're going to do it. We didn't get there by luck. We got there by merit. We played football. We played good football and we scored good goals. Not juicy goals, but good goals.
Are you nervous at all, Eric? Are you nervous building up to kickoff?
No, nervous at all. Just let's go and see what, show them what we can do.
I can't be sure, but I don't think Eric's nervous.
See, if you were Eric and you're sitting in Bermuda and watching the football, would you be nervous? I'd be delighted.
I know you wouldn't. You'd have it off after 10 minutes.
I know, but I'd be.
You'd be elsewhere.
See, I'm trying to picture people who would actually come on and say, "Oh, do you know what? I don't think we've got any earthly." You know, why would you come on and say that?
I think you can still be nervous, though, can't you? There's like a middle ground, a scale of these things.
Andy said to me earlier on that, you know, are people getting overconfident? Again, if it's your first final in 14 years, and you've got there by knocking out the likes of Leipzig and Braga and Dortmund. Yes, of course you're nervous when the actual moment arrives, but you also have a belief in the team and the way in which they got there.
You nervous?
No, what makes you say that?
I feel pretty calm.
You sweat, he'll need a new t-shirt by the time.
I told you I've taken this white one off after seeing the Frankfurt fans.
He's sweating. He's moving from side to side now, back and forward. This has got to be a long night.
Thank you, Eric. Pass our regards to everyone else in Bermuda. Is that the first call we've had from Bermuda? No, it's not actually. Yeah, I remember another one. Was it not? Hold on. Did someone not invite us over? And I don't think we ever took him up on it.
Was it Eric?
I think we might need to look into that end of season trip. Someone ran a hotel or something, did they not, in Bermuda? Do you know what it was? Just before lockdown, I think, and that scuppered the plans. I'll need to get that guy back on the phone.
Luckily I can make it. So
when you're getting the bus ready.
Have you ever been to Bermuda?
No, I haven't had that pleasure.
Bet you have, Gordon. A well-travelled man, sophisticated gentleman like yourself.
No, I've not been to Bermuda. No, but I'm willing to go to that one.
Did you hear this the other day, Andy? This just sums this guy up, just to digress. Oh. Doesn't like holidays.
You don't like
holidays? I hate them, mate. Why? Because that's sitting about nonsense. I'd kind of.
You know, you don't have
to
sit about.
Here it's 42 degrees in the studio.
Yeah, I know exactly. It's about warm. I'm more of a guy that will go and have a game of golf, but
shock.
I don't like beaches and all that.
I'm not a fan of beaches, to be honest.
What do you do?
I don't like holidays.
I get that, exactly right. I get that side of it because not everyone does. But you said the last time you just don't like holidays.
No, sightseeing, like beaches.
What about sitting by a pool?
No, I don't taste sitting, but I can't swim.
Shallow end.
Sightseeing?
No, I hate sightseeing.
Oh, never mind.
Don't like sightseeing. There's nothing out there I want to see.
Clyde One, European football coverage with Moyer and Sweeney Litigation, a multi-award winning law firm with a name you can trust.
Right, we'll see while everyone else is away on holiday enjoying themselves. You could be sitting at home, not you, because you can't win this Gordon deal, but we're giving you the chance to win a 58-inch Samsung 4K TV and an Amazon Echo Show. It's all thanks to Moyer and Sweeney Litigation, who not only are a multi-award-winning law firm offering high-quality, discreet legal service in a wide range of matters, including criminal defence, personal injury and road traffic offences. They're also our sponsors of European football coverage this season. So thanks again to the guys. You can go to Clyde1.com and find out more. And that's where you enter as well to win this competition. So there's the Samsung TV, the Amazon Echo Show, and it's all thanks to Moyer and Sweeney Litigation. So go and check it out, and we will do our final build up to kick off next.
Rangers are heading to Seville.
We know what it's worth. Rangers in the Europa League final.
This is going to be another roller coaster, a nail biter.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
15 minutes till kickoff in the Europa League final between Eintracht Frankfurt and Rangers. Who would have thought a Scottish team in a European final? It has happened, and it is 15 minutes away. All the pre-match talking, all the speculation about who should play and who shouldn't play and what it means and the journeys to get there is almost all in the past. And then it just becomes about the football. Of course, the outcome will be more than just about the football, but we'll get to that a bit later on. Let's go back to the Estadio de la Cartuja, where Gabriel is in the fan zone. How's it going, Gabriel?
Hi Gordon, yeah, done really well here. About 30,000 fans we reckon at the moment in the Cartuja, packing it out, and it really makes you think how many teams would be able to do this considering there's a European final at a stadium just 2 miles away. Fantastic atmosphere, the four big screens that mean there are four sections of supporters, and all of these fans here are already in dreamland. This is what dreams are made of, and it just makes you think, what will they be like if they do win in the next 90 minutes? They'll be in a different stratosphere. You can hear them singing out Giovanni Van Bronckhorst's name. They are all very confident. Every single fan I've spoken to over the last 2 days is set on Rangers lifting that big trophy in a few hours' time. The only negative for all of these fans is that there's a 30-minute queue for the beer, and it's non-alcoholic.
Is everyone in and safe and it was okay, Gabriel? It was logistically, everyone's going to get to see the game?
Yeah, as I said, it did take about half an hour from the fan zone to get in. The biggest issue that we were all concerned about was the heat. Everyone did seem to manage in the end, didn't see any big issues. The Spanish police were there with their horses, allowing people to get in, taking stop gaps so that there was no crowd crushes. But everything I saw was okay. The stewards that let us in were absolutely fine as well. They did question why I was at the wrong stadium. I managed to convince them that I was meant to be here. But everything building up perfectly to kick off. And everyone in this stadium here at the Cartuja cannot wait.
Andy Halliday, that's a fan zone. You can hear that's not even the stadium where the game is going to be played. So that might just sum up how big this is.
Yeah, it's going to be that stadium, the fan zone. It's going to be the stadium where the game's played and all around the streets of Seville. 100,000 Rangers supporters travelled over there. Match with 50,000 Frankfurt fans. I think I read that the population of Seville is only 700,000, so there's going to be a real party atmosphere, and depending on the result it could get even bigger.
Yep, this is what the whole season has been about for Rangers, whether it was Steven Gerrard in the seasons gone by or the combination of Steven Gerrard and Giovanni Van Bronckhorst this season. Good European results have been a Rangers characteristic. This one could be the one that takes them to the mountaintop.
Yeah, this is a culmination, Gordon, of a few years of hard work. Andy was there, and Ufa and Villarreal and all these nights. You know, this didn't happen overnight. But even at that, I'm not sure anyone imagined this step would be taken.
They've grown in Europe, Gordon. You've got to say, some of the performances under Steven Gerrard, who started it all off, built that squad, a lot of them there reaping the benefits tonight. Van Bronckhorst come in, probably taking it to the next level, which was expected to happen. It's been a long journey, and if they win it tonight, it'll be a worthwhile journey. And I've got a funny feeling they're coming back with a cup.
Andy, what was the start of that journey? How much of a priority did Rangers as a football club make it to start being a force in Europe again?
Well, I spoke about it before. Steven Gerrard's first meeting when he joined the club was he demanded Europa League group stages. And you know, rewind 12 months previous, Rangers got put out off a part-time progress Nidicon for Luxembourg. So the prospect of getting to Europa League group stages year after seemed like a big ask. But yeah, through hard work and quality, they managed to do it. And ever since, they've just grown in stature in Europe. And listen, I think they've showed for a few years now they more than belong in these competitions.
How beneficial do you think that experience has been? You can rhyme them off. I said it, Villarreal, Benfica, Porto. This season, you're talking Lyon, and that's before you get to Dortmund and Leipzig. You can throw loads of teams in there, Galatasaray, you know, at various stages of either qualification or group stages. This is a team that's played a lot of European football together. How beneficial has that been?
Yeah, it's massive, because it's like I said, they'll know as players that they belong in this competition, and like I said, they'll feel as if they've beaten probably better competition. So they'll certainly go in with a lot of respect for Frankfurt, but certainly no one to fear.
I mean, Gordon Dalziel, it now boils down to a football match and getting a, you know, a game plan and implementing it, just like you do at Dens Park or the Tony Macaroni. That's what the players and Giovanni Van Bronckhorst will probably be focusing in on now.
The build-up's been incredible for them, Gordon, obviously, in the last week. They're over there, they've spent the last few days, they've been out walking, they know how many fans are over there, they know how important it is to support us. But as players, management and coaching staff, the talking's done. It's now time to get out there, play the football. You're right, once that whistle goes, it doesn't matter how many people are in that stadium, you're concentrating playing football, making sure you get that early touch, getting in there settled, getting settled into the game, the pace of the game, and hopefully go on and try and win it.
I mean, Hugh, Glasgow is one of the footballing centres of the world, really, when you think about the intensity, the goldfish bowl, as people call it. So these players will know fine well what's at stake tonight.
Of course. Giovanni Van Bronckhorst has also played for Rangers, as well as now managing the club. So they are absolutely familiar with what this means to the blue half of Glasgow. Let's be perfectly honest, very, very, very few of the green half of Glasgow will want to see Rangers win tonight. They will be tormented by the thought of Rangers winning tonight. But Rangers are there on merit. There's no point in saying that they have fluked their way there. There is no derogatory comment that you can make about Rangers' run to this final. So if they win, the supporters of other clubs, primarily Celtic supporters, if they don't like the idea, they will at least have to respect that the team has deserved it.
Yep, it's been quite a journey when you think about it, Gordon Dalziel, the run to this final. And as Andy says, this was a team that got knocked out of the Champions League qualifiers against 10 men, then eventually gets into the Europa League group stages, loses the first two matches, Steven Gerrard leaves. When you put it all into context, it's just incredible that we're standing here tonight.
Yeah, remarkable, Gordon, with those stats. Plus, and you add on to that the teams that they've come up against. They've come up against top, top quality teams. Let's not be kidding. We've stood here many a Thursday night thinking, is this the last hurdle? They'll not go over this. It's too big a challenge for them. And they've risen to the challenge, especially Ibrox. Dortmund was a magnificent performance. We didn't see that coming. They're here in merit. They deserve to be here. They're getting into a game. You're not looking at Frankfurt and thinking, well, they're really the odds-on favourites to win this. This is a 50-50, but I'm confident with the journey Rangers have been on, with a little bit of luck, and they will need that tonight. in every final you need a little bit of luck to go your way. I think Rangers can achieve this.
It's almost showtime. Things you never thought you would hear again on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Rangers fans, kick off in the Europa League final is coming next